Okay, we're going to go to her right away because she's got other work to do, and we just love the fact that we get a chance to visit with her. Lori Levinson is a professor of law at Loyola Law School and has taught classes, criminal law, criminal procedure, white-collar crime, ethical lawyering, and I know that she is keeping a lot of track on this mifepristone hearing that's going on with the Supreme Court. Let's get to her. Lori, thanks for coming back on News and Views.
Joel, thanks for having me on again.
Speak to me about this trial that the Supreme Court is hearing right now.
Well, the Supreme Court has been hearing oral arguments this morning regarding mifepristone and whether the decision out of the Fifth Circuit in Texas that tried to say that the FDA went too far in authorizing this drug should be overturned. Because right now what's at risk is whether this drug, which more women who have terminate their pregnancies use it, this drug, will have access to it. After listening to the argument this morning, it's been going on for about an hour, it looks pretty clear that this might end up being a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court, even by those who don't like abortion, that there was not standing, that the doctors who came in with this lawsuit don't have a grounds to challenge the FDA ruling.
So really what is being decided is not whether it's legal to use this as a means of having an abortion. What they're arguing against is whether or not the FDA should have ever said it was safe. Am I right about that?
Well, they tried to go back and argue that the 2000 decision to say that it was safe and allowed should be overturned, but it's too late. The statute ran. So instead, what they're trying to challenge, and this is about seven doctors who say they don't want to be involved with this, they're trying to challenge some changes that were made in 2016 and 2021 that made it easier for women to access this drug, that they wouldn't have to go into a doctor. They could get it by telemedicine, and that, in fact, a drug that over 5 million women have used is safe enough to have these easier access.
So, Lori, let me ask this. You say that you feel after listening to some of the arguments or some of the questioning that it might be a unanimous decision. Judges like Thomas, Alito, I mean, some of these ultra-conservative judges, well, actually, I could keep going down the list, but if it is a unanimous decision, is that a sign of the price that Supreme Court paid in its previous Dobbs decision?
Well, I'm not sure it's the price they paid, but I think it's an indication that when they decided Dobbs and everyone thought, okay, this will curtail abortions in the United States, that was pretty short-sighted because there's an alternative to shutting down these clinics, and the alternative is the telemedicine. Now, it still doesn't take care of the situation where women come forward after 10 weeks of pregnancy and they need assistance, but it's at least fills in some of the gap. And so what you have are some of those conservative justices, they still have to struggle with the standing standard, which is who gets to bring these lawsuits. And they might be very anti-abortion, but they're not going to open up the courts and the Supreme Court to second-guessing every drug that the FDA authorizes.
If this, in fact, is ruled to be safe and that the Food and Drug Administration is right about it, because really what we're talking about is an argument Texas is making, does this, in fact, make abortion, certainly through this method, legal throughout the United States?
Well, it will make access to it available. Now, you'll still have states who are going to claim that in their states it's illegal to do it, and that's the thorny issue of whether the states try to enforce their laws against the individual women who are accessing the drug. That's not this case. This case is really whether that drug stays on the market. We have so many more issues following Dobbs for the court to decide. This is just one step.
Well, they dug that hole themselves. That's Joel's opinion. I want to talk about the appeals court ruling that Donald Trump can have 10 additional days, and they reduced the bond to $175 million, down from $464. Your thoughts on that decision?
Well, they did that, but actually some of the other things they did concern me more, which is they relieved Donald Trump and his sons from one of the conditions that they not be in governance, that they not be running these companies, and they said, oh, we'll put that on hold. Overall, it's a huge break to Donald Trump. It's still $175 million, but that's quite different from what the original amount was, and it allows him pretty much to stay back in business until the Court of Appeals decides what's going to happen with the lower court's judgment. So it's hard to know how to react to this. I think that it could be expected that they would drop the amount of the bond from in the $400 million to less than that. But relieving some of the other conditions makes you wonder whether the Court of Appeal is concerned about the trial judgment.
Last one, Lori, and then I'll let you get back to your hearing. When you look at this and whether or not this is a win by Donald Trump, and you look at the court date that is set up, from a political standpoint, is this in fact a win?
Well, setting the court date for April 15th for him to stand a criminal trial in New York, that was a huge setback for Donald Trump. And he might be in, because he's always focused on his money, saying that he had a win yesterday. But the bigger loss really was he's going to start trial, and he's going to be in trial pretty much April, May, and beyond during the election season. And the focus is going to be on what he never wanted people to think about in the first place, his affair with Stormy Daniels and his shenanigans in trying to hide the payments that he made. So, no, not an overall great day for Donald Trump, but he likes to tout his wins.
Okay, I lied. One more quick one. I realize I got to hurry here, but
that's okay. Joel.
When you look at this, Lori, the average person that isn't familiar with what you are, which is, you know, the legal system, the judicial branch of government, you know, it seems that the average person has to deal with their repercussions much quicker. Why, in fact, does this go on and on and on before we actually see some resolution to these questions, whether or not he's guilty or innocent?
Well, you know, I know this won't be shocking for you or your listeners, but people of affluence, people with money, people who can hire armies of lawyers do have a different kind of justice often. They can follow, and they're not doing anything illegal necessarily, but they can file every appeal and seek every remedy, and that tends to draw things out. We hope in the end everyone gets the same justice, but along the way, if you can afford it, there are a lot more you can do in the courts than if you can't.
Okay. Lori, thank you. Thanks for your time on a very, very busy day.
You take care.
Yep. Lori Levinson, ladies and gentlemen, professor of law at Loyola Law School. I think that last part she said to me is just as important as anything for the American public to, and she said it shouldn't surprise us, but there are two systems of government. There really are. For you, the average person that is listening right now, you don't have access to the same things if you get yourself in trouble that others do. I mean, you don't. You can't hire a team of lawyers. You can't sit there and make appeal upon appeal upon appeal. You can't afford it. And so here we sit. Now, one other question I would ask you your opinion on is, if you look at that bond, if you look at $175 million that he's going to have to come up in that 10 additional days, which some of that's already gone. But is it ethical? Two things. Ethics and Donald Trump. I can't believe I'm saying this. But is it ethical, or are you afraid at all if he gets some of that money from foreign entities? If that money comes from China, if that money comes from Russia, what do you think about that? Are you okay with that? Would you be okay with that? Also, the other question I would have is in regards to, you know, how this all gets resolved through the courts. I said before, I do think that there's a responsibility on the banks to know the square footage. There's responsibility on the banks to know values. It's a lot of those type of things. But, I mean, the truth is, in every piece of property I have, I pay the full amount I'm supposed to of property tax. Well, the people of New York didn't get the amount of property tax revenue they should have, because clearly it was connived to downvalue it, to make sure it was of less value. And so you're saying there's nobody hurt here? Well, I would argue there is somebody hurt. It's the other people who had to pay the taxes to make up for that, for the bills it took.